forever by my side.
Hey, you're listening to 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sign Point,
Alaska. Romantic songs I've ever heard in my life. And so I was like...
There was a time when Charles Wesley Godwin's all-consuming goal was to be a football player. He trained constantly. He wanted it bad, but eventually realized it wasn't going to happen for him.
When I finally, you know, gave up on that dream, then I had all this free time for the first time in my life. And after a couple months, I was like, I need to find some more hobbies.
One of the hobbies he picked up was the guitar. And when he started playing, that's when he found his true calling. Coming up, Charles Wesley Godwin talks about going from football to his first ever gig in Estonia to collaborating with Zach Bryan and touring with Luke Combs.
It's crazy. Yeah, I got people I've looked up to for... well, way over a decade now, like in my phone.
Charles Wesley Godwin, today. I'm Raina Duris, and this is World Cafe.
Times are getting hard, good is getting red. You and me and the babies have more.
Get the World Cafe in your podcast feed, subscribe in your podcast app, or go to worldcafe.org. Here's Joni, Coyote.
Regrets, Coyote. We just come from such different sets of circumstance. I'm up all night in the studios and you're up early on your ranch. You'll be brushing out a broodmare's tail while the sun is ascending, and I'll just be getting home with my reel to reel. There's no comprehending just how close to the bone and the skin and the eyes and the lips you can get. Still feel so alone and still feel related, like stations in some relay. You're not a, a hit and run driver, no, no, racing away. You just picked up a hitcher, prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. Farmhouse burning down in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. We roll right past that tragedy till we turn into some roadhouse lights where a local band was playing. Locals were up kicking and shaking on the floor. The next thing I know, that coyote's at my door. He pins me in a corner, he won't take no. He drags me out on the dance floor and we're dancing close and slow. Now he's got a woman at home. He's got another woman down the hall. He seems to want me anyway. Why'd you have to get so drunk and leave me on that way? You just picked up a hitcher, a prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. Coyote right in the face on the road to Belgeny near my old hometown. He went running through the whisker weed chasing some prize down, and a hawk was playing with him. Coyote was jumping straight up and making passes. He had those same eyes just like yours under your dark glasses, privately probing the public rooms, peeking through keyholes and numbered doors, where the players lick their wounds and take their temporary lovers and their pills and powders to get them through this passion play. No regrets, Coyote. I'd just get off up a ways. You just pick up a hitcher, a prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. Coffee shop. He's staring a hole in his scrambled legs. He picks up my scent on his fingers while he's watching the waitress's legs. He's too far from the Bay of Fundy, from Appaloosas and Eagles and Tides, and the air-conditioned cubicles and the carbon ribbon rides are spilling it out so clear. Either he's gonna have to stand and fight or take off out of here. I tried to run away myself to to run away and wrestle with my ego. With this flame you put here in this Eskimo, in this hitcher, in this prisoner of the fine white lines, of the white lines on the free.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Charles Wesley Godwin grew up in West Virginia, son of a coal miner and a teacher. That might sound like a fairly normal beginning for a country folk artist, but for a long time, no one would have ever predicted that he would end up opening shows for artists like Luke Combs or Jason Isbell. Coming up, Godwin will take you on his journey from his days as a football hopeful to studying in Estonia to starting a family and releasing his album Family Ties in 2023. He'll also talk about his upcoming new EP, Lonely Mountain Town. His performance of one of the songs from that you'll hear today is the very first time he ever performed the song in front of an audience. To start things off, here is Charles Wesley Godwin performing a song from Family Ties. This is All Again, live for the World Cafe.
Across the floor, and I've been missing you and more. Beating up my heart, chase the framing in my chest. I'm falling more and more. Hell, I don't mind being poor. When I'm with you, I pity all the kings of the world. Times are getting hard. Getting real. You and me and the babies have them all the time, I swear. We don't mind the folks talk, we're just keeping our eyes locked. They can watch us chase those dreams they never even did. Been. We've got time.
Performing live for the World Cafe, that is Charles Wesley Godwin with All Again from his album Family Ties. My name is Raina Duras. Charles Wesley Godwin is my guest today on the show. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Yeah, happy to be here. This has been a cool experience.
So happy to have you. I found this very interesting because watching you on stage, you'd never know this, but you started playing guitar and singing relatively late in your life. Could you tell us why you decided to pick up the guitar and learn it when you were around 19, 20 years old?
Yeah, I played football growing up, and I loved, you know, sports, and that was kind of, you know, where my free time would go is training. I wanted to play for WVU. I wanted to play college football, and I tried out three years, and got cut, and just finally it actually set in that I wasn't good enough and it wasn't going to happen. I wish I would have figured that out sooner. But when I finally, you know, gave up on that dream, then I had all this free time for the first time in my life where I, you know, after a couple months, I was like, I need to find some more hobbies to like fill up this free time. I can't just be like watching TV in the evenings. So I was looking for different things to get into. I'd always hunted and fished, but I, you know, I was in college at the time, so I needed to find something else. So I was watching the Grammys in February 2011, and the Avett Brothers performed at the Grammys. They played I Am Loving You, and I remember watching Seth Avett, and he was playing acoustic guitar, and I thought they sounded amazing. It was the first time I'd ever heard of them, and I was just blown away. And I was like, I should pick up a guitar as a hobby. That would be something productive I could do. So my brother had a old Jasmine Taccamini that he'd had as a teenager. And I think he played it a few months and then, you know, put it in the closet and never picked it back up. And I knew he had it in there, so I went into his room and pulled that guitar out and picked it up for 15 minutes a day for about a year until I could start stringing chords together. And yeah, I'm not a natural at guitar, but you know, I'm persistent, so I didn't quit. And then about a year later, I could kind of start playing some chords, and then I started learning some songs I wanted to play, and then I started singing. And when I started singing, that's when I realized I had a God-given talent for music. It was the first thing in my life that had ever come natural.
You know, did it surprise you?
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, I'd always, again, like I wanted to play football so bad. I wanted it more than anybody. I loved it. I love hit like the contact, and I trained as hard as I possibly could, but it just wasn't going to happen because I did not have like just the God-given ability to play at that level. And I'd always watch people that did in sports, like in high school and stuff, that kids that are kind of destined for the next level, they kind of glide. They make it look easy compared to other people. And everything I'd always done was labored. And I had to work hard with singing. I was the one that it came easy to.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I kind of got started. I got my first gig when I was on study abroad in Estonia. And I think I made 150 euro in 20 minutes playing for a fashion show. That was
okay.
My first gig.
Before we get too deep in this, I want to move back just a little because I know about this gig. But the first time you played for an audience, you were kind of forced up on stage,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, I had five other flatmates I was with when I was over there, and one of my flatmates, Balam Nazar, he's from Mexico City. Shout out to Balam. he took my guitar out of the apartment when we'd all left to go to this club show in town. And when the show was over, I didn't know any of this. Balam ran up on stage then, and they had the mic still on. And Balam started saying, Charlie, come up and play a song, Charlie, Charlie. And he got everybody in the room to start saying, chanting Charlie. And so I was freaking out, super nervous, hadn't sang in front of anybody. And then the next Monday, I got a Facebook message from a fashion designer there in town. And she had been at that show. And she asked if I could play for her fashion show that Friday, if I could fill 20 minutes. And I knew like six songs. I was like, five songs will do it. So yeah, I was like, yeah, I got it. I can do it.
There is footage of that gig online where you're standing in this courtyard in Estonia. There are people sitting at tables. There are models walking by you and you're playing, which is a very unique situation to be in for your second gig.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind in that moment?
I don't even, I can't really remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 20 years old. at that time. But I do remember I got paid 150 euro, and I had a lawn business back in Morgantown that I'd had all through growing up, and I kept it in college because it was really good money. And I never made such easy like money. So at that time, the 20-year-old me, I hadn't decided I wanted to do this for a living, hadn't written songs yet. I was like, this is the easiest beer money I've ever had in my life. I remember we took that 150 euros and me and my buddies, we all went into Tartu that night.
You won the lottery.
Drinks were on me. It was awesome. So I just remember just being like, man, I can't believe like I'm getting to do this.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what was going through my head, and also probably very nervous about singing in front of people because I never sang growing up. So I was still, you know, 3 days removed from getting in front of a crowd for the first time.
We're going to listen to a bit of that clip right now, and then we'll come back and we'll keep talking.
Oh, boy.
This is Charles Wesley Godwin performing his second gig at a fashion show in Estonia.
Hey, little girl, was your daddy home? Did he come and leave you all alone? I can take you higher.
You're listening to World Cafe. My guest today is Charles Wesley Godwin. That was some YouTube footage audio of his second gig ever when he was about 20 in Estonia. But you are from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Could you describe the place where you grew up?
I grew up in Morgantown, West Virginia. My parents had moved there for work. There's a lot of jobs in the Morgantown area because that's where WVU is based and used to have Mylan Pharmaceuticals and big gravel company, and there's coal and stuff in the area. So when I was born, my dad was working for Consol Energy and my mom was a school teacher. And then, you know, both sides of my family are also from in the state. My mom's side's over from Seneca Rocks, which is, it's right in the middle of the mountains. It's really gorgeous. It's probably like some of the prettiest, prettiest scenery on the East Coast by far. And then my dad's side's from the Buchanan area, Buchanan and Elkins.
I'm speaking with Charles Wesley Godwin today on World Cafe, and we're going to hear you perform another song from Family Ties now. And this song I know is about your dad. It's called Minor Imperfections. And I should say it's minor, spelled M-I-N-E-R, imperfections. Before we hear it, what can you tell us about your dad? I know you mentioned he worked for Consolidated Energy.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you tell us about him?
Well, my dad is I absolutely love him. He was a wonderful father, and he's the hardest worker I've ever known. And that song is kind of talking about when I was a little kid. My dad is a very intense man because he had a very hard job, and what he did was very dangerous. And it just, when I was a little kid, it kind of threw me off with how intense my dad was, but also loving. He was always loving, but just very intense. But then as I've grown up and, you know, become my own man and have my own family, I look back now on how my dad was and can really appreciate on how good of a man he was and how good of a father that he was. So that song, a buddy of mine, Zach McCord, his dad was a coal miner as well. We wrote that together for our dads, talking about just how, as a young child, when you're so kind of little and innocent, that can kind of almost seem rough if somebody's real intense like that.
Sure.
But then as you grow up and you realize how much of an effect that had on us as men, husbands and fathers, the kind of principles that our fathers instilled in us, we appreciate how they were now that we're grown up.
What was your dad's reaction when he heard this song?
I think he appreciates it. We haven't really talked about it,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But I've seen videos, a video of them that when they were at the Ryman last year when I was playing it, and I think he appreciates it.
Well, let's listen. This is Charles Wesley Godwin performing Minor Imperfections on World Cafe.
Thank you.
wasn't one to talk much when we pulled off to school. I can never tell what's running through his mind. It'd be three more hours until those halls are full, but long walls don't run on 9 to 5. I didn't get it then, every day that man would fight to punch the clock and make it home alive. He's got minor imperfections, blame it on his roots. Calluses on his hands, cold dust on his boots. He's not one for conversation when there's work to do. Papaw said get paid in cash, company scripts and news. Them city folks would shame him if he let them. He's proud of his minor imperfections. He was a man I grew up, his brown hair faded white. He somehow picks up every time I call. Moved me in, bailed me out, and shared all he knows about. I count a pair of diamonds to a girl. His hard edges cut me deep when I was just a boy. I saw his face light up when those grandchildren were born. He's got minor imperfections, blame it on his roots. Calluses on his hands, cold dust on his boots. He's not one for conversation when there's work to do. He told me, do what you love, misery is a noose. And city folks would shame him if he left. But I'm proud of his modern imperfection. I don't mind a little cold, but my collar still stained blue. My kids look up at me the way I look to them. For those little ones, there's nothing I won't do. I hope one day they can understand. I've got minor imperfections, I'm proud of my roots. Calluses on my hands, singing to a room. I'm not one for conversation when there's work to do. I tell my kids, do what you love, your papa told me to. Them city folks try to shame me now and then. I'm proud of my minor imperfection. I'm proud of my minor
Charles Wesley Godwin performing Minor Imperfections in front of a live audience for World Cafe. That's a song from his album, Family Ties. On the other side of the break, Charles will talk about why writing about his family is important to him, and he'll play a song about his mom and her side of the family. That's next on World Cafe.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the World Cafe. My name is Raina Duris. Today, I'm joined by country folk artist Charles Wesley Godwin, who's about to release a new EP called Lonely Mountain Town. Back in the fall of 2023, he put out his third full-length album. Your most recent full-length album is called Family Ties, and you write a lot about your family. And some artists that I talk to are reluctant to get personal and talk about their families and sing about their families. Why was that something that you wanted to do?
Because that's me. You know, that was on my heart, and I'm not, you know, I do this for the love of writing the songs and recording them. That is why I do this. I did it for that reason when I was completely broke, and I do it now, even though I'm doing a little bit better. Like, that is truly why I'm here. So I have nothing to cover up. And if I ever feel that way, then I need to stop. But as long as I'm doing this and I love writing and recording like the way I do, I just gotta be me.
Well, the song that we're gonna hear you play next is a story. It is about your family, but it's a story that happened when you weren't born yet. It's from 1985, the flood.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hurricane that affected West Virginia in 1985. You weren't there, but you tell this story beautifully. And I'm wondering, how was that story told in your family when you were growing up? How did it, what was its place in like the family lore?
I tell you what, that was a big one. The flood of 85 was a turning point for my mom's side of the family. It was absolutely biblical. You know, the water was from ridgeline to ridgeline. Just everywhere where people live in the mountains was getting absolutely just washed out. The same is just what happened here in Western North Carolina and East Tennessee.
Yeah.
So my parents were up in Morgantown, Morgantown's kind of in the hills, but not the mountains. So the flooding wasn't as severe up that way. So once the storm had passed her, and my mom was on the phone with my grandmother while it was happening, and then the power lines got washed out in the fence, and that's a true line there in the song when my grandmother told my mom, she said, "Oh my God, Kim, there goes the fence." And then the line went dead. So my mom had no idea if they were alive or not. They had no idea if they'd gotten out of the house and gone up to higher ground. So her and my dad, they tried to drive their way down through like the mountains, and they had a hell of a time because the whole way, everything had been flooded. You know, all of Preston County and Tucker County had all been devastated. So they're trying to work their way through all this, and eventually they got down to Red Creek. The bridge was kind of washed out, and some of it had been washed away, and my dad like just gunned it, and they got across, and then they got pretty close to a place called Harmon, and eventually they couldn't go any further in the car. So they pulled the car up towards the side of the hill, and then they walked the ridgeline the rest of the way, and they crossed the Allegheny Mountain on foot. And that night they're coming down over the hill, and they could see a flashlight down at the barn out in the distance, and they get down to the barn. It's my Uncle Rick.
Oh my God.
And he was waiting on them. He said, "I had a feeling you guys might be coming."
Wow. Oh my God.
You know? And so they went down and they spent months cleaning up.
Yeah.
And my great grandmother was okay. My grandparents were okay. My uncle was all right. Some people weren't so lucky in the area. And that's just always been, your home gets devastated. It's just a big part of the family history.
What does a story like that mean to you? Like, what is the significance of that? What does it tell you about your family?
Again, it's just that, you know, my mom was willing to die to get back home to her folks and find out that she was, you know, that they were okay. You know, she was a fifth grade school teacher, and she was faced with a moment, a life or death moment, and she did not shrink away from it. She, you know, my mom was as brave as anybody could ever be in that situation at that time. So, I mean, it just makes me very proud of her, and then it's also, it's a lesson for me on how to conduct myself if I'm ever in a similar situation, that, you know, you'd do anything for your family.
This is Live for the World Cafe. It's Charles Wesley Godwin with The Flood.
Mm-hmm.
1985, there was a once in 200 year flood in Seneca Rocks, West Virginia, where my folks are from. A hurricane had come up from the southeast and sat over top of the mountains a few days longer than they ever had there before, much like Helene. And my mom didn't know if her parents and her grandmother and her brother were alive or not. So once the storm had passed her and my dad hopped in the car and they tried to drive their way down through the mountains to get back home and find out if everybody was okay. They'd just gotten south of this place called Canaan Valley, West Virginia, and they'd gotten down to the bottom. And there's a bottleneck in the valley at Red Creek. And my dad drove up to the bridge and the bridge is washed out. He stopped the car and he turned to my mom. He said, "Kim, what do you want to do?" My mom, being the badass fifth grade teacher that she was, she said, "Go for it, John." There is a storm brewing in the southeast. Grandmama feels it in her bones. They're calling for the rain to pour down on a biblical scale ain't seen since Noah's around. What would you do when the Lord calls? Would you go over the bridge for your blood? Call from my folks, said the water is rising. There goes the fence, mama said, and the line went dead. Gotta find my way. No, I just can't stay when that voice inside my head says I must get home. When the Lord calls, will you go?
Charles Wesley Godwin performing The Flood in front of a live audience for World Cafe. At the end of that song, when you're performing it up there, it feels like a flood. Like, mm-hmm. the way that you guys play it, it gets so overwhelming. It's really cool seeing you guys up there playing that song.
Yeah, want it to be epic, cinematic, emotional.
It really definitely feels that way. That's a song from your album, Family Ties. I'm Raina Duris. Since you released Family Ties, I mean, you've opened for or toured with lots of big names. I mean, really, you came out of the pandemic and suddenly everything was a lot bigger. But then you've toured with people like, or you've opened for Jason Isbell, Avett Brothers, who are like the people who first inspired you. You toured with Luke Combs. What have you learned from being a part of shows like that with these very established artists in front of these huge crowds when it comes to your craft as a performer?
I've learned so much from watching the Avetts and Bruce Springsteen on how to perform live shows. I mean, I've watched the 1979 No Nukes concert video probably 50 times. I mean, I study it. And then getting to be out with like Luke, him and his whole team, the whole production, everything is, it's so first class and so nice and relaxed at the same time. It taught me that no matter how big it gets, it can still be done a certain way and people can still be treated right. I learned a lot from Luke with how to run an organization and what kind of culture to have in it at every level. And, you know, Isbell, one of the best songwriters ever. Turnpike, I used to listen to Turnpike, you know, in the middle of the night coming home or trying to drive home from some bar I'd played 3 hours away, you know, trying to like stay awake and also trying to just like keep myself going because it would have been so easy to quit because I was, you know, I'm very self-aware the whole way of what things look like with my career there in my, you know, early and mid 20s. So it took a lot of willpower not to give up. And Evan Felker's songs and Turnpike, you know, helped me get through nights like that.
Yeah. It must feel amazing to be up on a stage, like sharing a stage with fans like that now. Kind of surreal.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, I got, you know, people I've looked up to for way over a decade now, like in my phone, that I need to write, like, that are like, hey, man, we need to write, like, need to come down to Oklahoma, and I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
You have one more song for us today, and it's from a brand new EP called Lonely Mountain Town. What can you tell us about the new EP?
I'm really excited about it. It's something that I've been recording like on the road throughout this touring year. And again, these songs, I really had a lot of fun writing them. These songs are just kind of just the me working on the craft of songwriting itself. They made me very happy to write them, even though these ones I felt like they went together because they're all kind of like sad and mellow. They have a similar feel. That I think Lonely Mountain Town kind of sums them up very well. It's the common thread through all of them. It's kind of this like wistful, lonely, you know, yearning kind of feeling in all the songs. And we played a couple of them today, and that was the first time I played them in front of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was glad I didn't, you know, mess up the words and stuff. I'm always trying to remember words. That's like my daily challenge, is just all the words.
I'm always impressed by people, like just by artists on stage singing songs with lots of words. It's like, I don't know. That's, people don't think about that being part of it. Like, you have to memorize all those words.
Yeah. Yep. And it'd be, someday I'll have like one of those nice little things that looks like a monitor where somebody like has all my words on like a Word document and they're scrolling through and I have that lifeline. But until then, that is like my constant, like getting ready for a show. It's not playing in front of, it's remembering the words is always the thing.
You know, you're the first artist I've had actually admit that. And I know lots of people, like, I love that you said that because I think about it all the time.
There's nothing to me. I just feel like I'm just on this island
when a verse or a chorus isn't coming to me and I'm at a live show.
The light's on you and everyone's looking.
I'm like, oh no. Like in my head is like there's nobody coming to the rescue. Like I can't just hide behind my, like I'm not a guitar player or drummer or somebody that can just play the, like something's got to come to me. And sometimes I just got to freestyle something to get me through to the next chorus. And man, it's embarrassing. But more oftentimes than not, folks just, they kind of enjoy that. They enjoy that, like that vulnerable moment where you mess up and then, you know, they see that you're the same as everybody. You're just human trying to do your best.
It's real.
But in my own head, I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to be perfect. You know, I don't want to mess it up. So it freaks me out. But
well, you did it beautifully.
I had a great time getting to play them. And it felt really good to play new songs.
This is Charles Wesley Godwin, live for the World Cafe.
Big leaps and pauses, the wins and the losses can pick you up and knock you down like that. The highs and the lows and the big things you go for ain't a weight you want to shoulder through your door. Smile and wave and go a little out of your way, or hold in the door a second more. A spare dollar from a billfold, it don't have to be so bold to make your own red letter day. It's little things like the first sip of coffee, like the sun rising on me, like the look she gives in the morn. I can go downtown, have a little drive around, and cruise these streets to a simple song. It's the little things for me. Resting on your laurels ain't exactly what I mean. Don't let what you achieve mean everything. It's not as simple as I say it, and it never hurts to praise. Don't sweat the big pay, the big show, all the big things you want most. It's the little things, like the first sip of coffee, like the sun rising on me, like the look she gives in the morn. I can go downtown, have a little drive around, and cruise these streets to a simple song, like a California red, or lazy days in bed, or the sweet things she whispers to me. It's little things. Little things like that. It's little things for me. Little things. It's little things.
Performing a song from his new EP, Lonely Mountain Town, in front of a live audience for World Cafe. That was Charles Wesley Godwin. Charles Wesley Godwin, it's been my guest today. Charles, thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thanks for having me.
It's been fun.
It was a really cool experience.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Thank you.
You are listening to the World Cafe. Do you need something to look forward to in 2025? Me too. Well, here's something. I just remembered the other day that last year, Kathleen Edwards announced that she's working on a new album produced by Jason Isbell. Kathleen Edwards and Jason Isbell together seems like a perfect combination. No more details yet out there, but I will keep you posted if I hear anything. This is from Kathleen's last album, 2020's Total Freedom. It's called Hard on Everyone on World Cafe.
Something to be said about never. This is how you make yourself vanish into nothing. And this is how you make yourself worthy of the love that she gave to you back when you didn't own a beautiful thing. And this is how you make yourself call your mother. And this is how you make yourself closer to your brother. Remember him back when he was small enough to help you sing. You thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames in 24 frames. This is how you see yourself floating on the ceiling. And this is how you help her when her heart stops beating. What happened to the party you didn't notice every changing wind? And this is how you talk to her when no one else is listening. And this is how you help her when the muse goes missing. You vanish so she can go drowning in a dream again. You thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames in 24 frames.
Frames from Jason Isbell, who's producing the next album from Kathleen Edwards.
Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting is generously supported by the City of Sandpoint. Sandpoint is a first-class city in the Aleutians East Borough, located on Humboldt Harbor on the northwestern Popoff Island. Anchorage is 575 nautical miles to the northeast. The Sandpoint City Council meets the second Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. in the City Hall Council Chambers. Contact the City of Sandpoint by calling 907-383-2696, emailing sptcity@arctic.net, or visiting their website at sandpointak.com. From
If anyone asks you